Good morning, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to share with you this day. And this morning, we are going to continue with our most popular sermon topic of the past 3 months, namely lockdown due to COVID-19. But this morning, I'm going to share with you about change. For many of us, it has been a very difficult time, financial losses, business losses, and we continue to pray for you. But for me and my wife, the last 3 months, especially during level 5 and 4, it felt like a long, wonderful, outstretched church service. We have both learned so much, even about each other, and a lot of change has taken place in both of us. In our lives. I just want to tell you this, but I have to say this in Afrikaans. Somebody sent me this little card. He says, "Ek het nou net vir my vrou 'n word gou beter kaartjie gekoop. Sy is nie siek nie. Ek dink net sy kan beter word." So I'm going to share some of our own experiences. It might sound a bit random, but please just bear with me. I cannot believe that any child of God can remain unchanged after this lockdown period. And hoping that when this is all over, we can go back to our old lifestyle and the normal hustle and bustle of life without any change that has taken place in our hearts. Change in our family worship times, scripture reading, prayer life, more love for God, and a greater intimacy with God, more concern for your neighbors, and an absolute change of priorities. Church can never ever be the same as before. I'm not referring to Sunday morning services. We need fellowship, we need worship, and together being edified by the preaching of the word. But never can the Sunday morning service become and remain the pinnacle of our Christian experience. Change is not change until it is change. When I think how I have changed in attitude, in my marriage relationship, in my Bible study, and in my prayer life during this time, then I praise God for lockdown. Many times in my life, change does not come without a price. Change requires something of me. God is not going to change. His word and his spirit are eternal. And if we are going to follow Christ wholeheartedly, we have to change. But don't struggle with change. Just submit yourself to the Spirit of the Lord and let him have his way with you. But of course, most of the times, we want to do things our way. Now recently, I read something that was written by a monk early in the 12th century AD. Maybe some of you know it. I have personalized this for myself. Because when I read this, it described my own life perfectly. Listen carefully. Now I'm personalizing it. When I was a young man, shortly after my conversion at the age of 33, I wanted to change the world. The zeal for God was consuming. I found it was difficult to change the world, so I tried to change or save our own nation. When I found I couldn't change the nation, I began to focus on our town. I couldn't change the town. And now, as an older man, I try to change my family. And now, as an old man, I realize that the only thing I can change is myself. And suddenly I realized that if long ago I had changed myself, I could have made an impact on my family. My family and I could have made an impact on our town. The impact on our town could have changed the nation, and I could indeed have changed the world. My brothers, now I want to speak to you because it's not too late. Be the priest in your own home, the man who will remind your family of Christ, because you resemble Christ in character and personality. And then together we can change Hermanus for the kingdom of God. James 1:22, the New Living Translation. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Change occurs when we start acting on God's word. Now, allow me to get a bit more practical. Colossians 1:25, 26, 27 in the Living Bible. God has sent me to help the church and to tell his secret plan to you, Gentiles. He has kept the secret for centuries and generations past, but now at last it has pleased him to tell it to those who love him and live for him. And the riches and the glory of his plan are for you, Gentiles, too. And this is the secret, that Christ in your hearts is your only hope of glory. Now, this glory in the Greek language is doxa. Let me paraphrase myself for you. Christ in our hearts, our only hope of becoming like him in character, personality, and in nature. Can we really say, like Paul had said, I have died, I no longer live, but it is Christ now who lives in me. And you and I must strive, practice it, to become continually conscious of Christ in us. Because it is right here in the carrying of the actual presence of Christ in us that I fulfill God's purpose with my life. Listen. To live and walk in the Spirit is to be continually conscious of Christ in me. Can I repeat this? To live and walk in the Spirit is to be continually conscious of Christ in me. How else can I hope to cultivate an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit if I only become conscious of him on Sunday mornings during worship times or during the preaching of the word? If that is the case, we then have much more religion than relationship. To become like him in character and personality is true spiritual growth. And if there is growth, there has to be change. Now, if I am living and walking in the Holy Spirit, it does not make me better than you, but it makes me better than what I was before. I am not competing with other Christians if I live and walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says in the New King James, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now later on in verse 22, 23, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And when I walk in the Holy Spirit, it happens that I talk to the Holy Spirit, and it begins to guide me. The Bible says, as I walk in the Holy Spirit, I don't fulfill. The Bible doesn't say that if I walk in the Holy Spirit, I will not have the lust of the flesh, but you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lust will still be there. Lust is like an itch, you know, a mosquito bite. When it itches, you think that if you scratch it, it will go away. But the more you scratch, the more it itches. This is exactly what lust is. If you give into it, it promises it will go away, but in reality it increases. The Bible doesn't say that if I walk in the Holy Spirit, the itch will go away, but I have the power not to scratch. God will give you the power not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the Spirit. Works are applied to the flesh. It means I work, I strive, I sweat, trying to attain or gain victory over habitual sins or bad habits, smoking, drinking excessively, moodiness, unforgiveness, discontentment, anger, lying, gossip, etc. Fruit, on the other hand, means I surrender. Fruits are not produced like work. Fruit happens naturally. Fruit develops slowly, and fruit grows over time. When you walk and talk with the Holy Spirit, your character will be affected by the Holy Spirit. Now, the world tells us, work on your problems. Work on your character. Nowhere do you see a fruit. For example, an apple is working on the apple. The apple represents Christianity. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, etc. The result of a branch abiding in the tree. All these fruits mentioned are not developed because you work on them, but it happens because you work on your relationship with the Lord. And the fruit comes automatically. You work on your intimacy, and the issues in your life get resolved automatically. Stop working on your problems and character issues. Stop it. Running from one counselor and psychiatrist to another. Just look back at the past 2 to 5 years of your life. Have you really overcome your issues and problems by working on them? Or do you still have the same problems, anger, addiction, impatience, still watching programs you shouldn't be watching? Now, for some, I've got some good advice for the year, for the rest of the year 2020. Stop working on your character and work on your intimacy, and something will happen. Slowly but surely, your character will change. You will never be able to say, it's because I worked on it, but you'll say, it is the fruit of the Spirit. You did not work on it. He worked on it because I focused on intimacy with Him. So I don't get the credit, but He does. He gets all the credit. The only thing I did was I developed intimacy with Him, and He produced the fruit slowly but surely. From glory to glory, He is changing us. The best part of the fruit is, if you meet someone who bears the fruit of the Spirit, they will feed you. If you marry someone who bears the fruit of the Spirit, you will be fed. But if you do not have the fruit of the Spirit, he or she will soon be fed up with you. With the fruit, I feed my spouse. My wife does not care whether I speak in tongues or not, but she cares how I speak to her in Afrikaans or in English. My wife does not care how many people are slain in the Spirit when I lay my hands on them. She cares whether I touch her gently. My wife is fed when I have the fruit and not the gifts of the Spirit. She does not care how much applause I get after a sermon or how many views my sermons get on YouTube. She gets fed by my character. We get blessed by the gifts, but the people around me are being fed by my character. It feeds your family. At work, at your workplace, your co-workers or employees are fed by you. In your cell group, people are fed by you. On the sports field, wherever you move about, people will be fed by you. Be continually conscious of Christ, because He dwells in you, and the small things will just start changing, and you will know that it is the fruit of the Spirit. Let this decision and hunger be in us for the time that lies ahead. Build strong relationships with the Holy Spirit. Whatever we fill ourselves with, good or bad, is visible to others around us, or it pops out unexpectedly in certain circumstances, even if we try hard to hide it inside. How important to be transparent, holy and honest before God and others, and to be open that God could pour out everything that He has prepared for us: love, joy, peace, happiness, contentment, purity, patience, His choicest blessings. The Bible calls us the vessels of honor that we need to be. There are so many people around us whose vessels are empty or filled with the wrong stuff. Many are just emotionally exhausted. So you and I can share, pour into those whatever we have, our testimonies of God's love, His provision, His grace, as well as share our experiences with God. My brothers and sisters, we are living in serious times, and all the signs point to the fact that things might grow even worse. The church, the body of Christ, you and I, who are walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit, is the only hope for the world. Allow the Holy Spirit to start changing you. Then you will change your family, and together we can change Hermanus for the kingdom of God. May God bless you. Amen. Father God, thank you for this time of sharing. Lord, we pray and we ask you, Lord, we surrender to you totally and trust that you will change us from glory to glory, so that your character and personality might be seen in each one of us. And as Galatians 1:15 and 16 says, but it pleased God to reveal His Son in us, so that we may preach the good news to the unsaved. In Jesus' name, amen.